You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Mark, what's going on the stock markets right now?
Well, a little bit of a divergence. You got the S&P into new highs, which is 500 stocks. The Dow is still behind, as is the Russell 2000. We do have the NASDAQ into new highs as well. So the mid-cap index is not into new highs, so smaller stocks are not cooperating. And the Dow, not as much, but, you know, so many people follow the S&P. I have higher targets. I mean, my model is bullish for the year, just that, you know, you run into these cycle swings and so forth. We could, in fact, be coming up to one, in the August-September time frame. It might start early here in late July, where you start getting that pullback phase. And, you know, many, many years you have that big sell-off in September and or October, and then you rally into the year end, and that may or may not happen this year, but it's a cycle point that we have to keep an eye on. So, a little bit of divergence with not all the indexes confirming. You know, the big action is basically in two areas, metals, rare earth metals, and crypto. And then the third would be, of course, uranium and nuclear. Those stocks are, I guess, those three groups are sort of defining the market. So interest in the nuclear expansion, which is nothing new. We've been talking about this for a while. Big stocks like Cameco doing well, but also stocks like GE, Nova, and take a symbol GEV, building nuclear reactors, that in that area, and then uranium along with it. And then you've got metals, silver catching a little bit of a bid, but really getting some explosive moves in platinum and palladium. We mentioned that last week. And the rare earth stocks, one of the big names there got some government funding, and the talk of the town is, we have to develop our rare earth system versus depending on China. So, that remains hot. A lot of little stocks in that area, uranium, rare earth area, are still in a rally phase. And of course, crypto. We have Bitcoin into new all-time highs, hitting 122,000, I believe, today. And many of the other smaller names are rallying along with it. Of course, this week, you had a lot of the congressional action underway, with the various congressional acts being put before the House and the Senate. And what can I say? That's been sort of the talk of the talk of the street, what's going to happen with the legislation, how much of it is going to be passed, is there going to be any negative comments. There were some, but basically the Genius Act, which is the federal guardrails for stable coins, that's the big one. The Clarity Act, the framework for regulating crypto, that's another one in front of Congress. And then there's the Anti-CBDC Surveillance State Act, which many are supporting, which prevents the government creating its own currency, its own digital currency. So all these are in the process of being passed one way or another. There's still, I think, a little debate in the Senate on one of them, but the action in Bitcoin itself and the other cryptos is pretty much telling you the story. So I mentioned this months ago. We talk about the stock market, if it has a good year, it's up 10% or 20%, or of course, there's always individual stocks that have spectacular moves, but I had mentioned that, my feeling was as it is of others that are a lot more knowledgeable than me, that your biggest percentage gains were going to come in the crypto area this year. I mean, for example, there's one crypto which is very popular. It's the one that I'm told that has the only one that's got full legal clearance at the moment, called XRP. I think it was up 15% today alone in just one day. So that's like your whole year in the stock market. So, you know, the potential of several 100% type gains exists. And even for a Bitcoin, you know, Bitcoin has rallied from roughly, 99,000, 100, the end of June until now, mid-July, up to 122. So that's about a 20% move just in Bitcoin alone in just 2 weeks. So, you know, this is where the action is right now. And I know it's not comfortable for a lot of people. We have our VR blockchain letter, and it's out there. And like those who are subscribing to it, you know, see all the names that are out there and some of the, you know, the gains that have been posted already in them. But, you know, with the government behind it, with this legislation going through, you know, it's like saying, you know, where's the action? So we know the action is in nuclear because the Trump administration is behind it. A lot of nuclear plants are going to be built and big expansion. And a lot of it started with the private companies like Microsoft because they needed more power for their AI generation, so they commissioned the restart of a nuclear reactor, Three Mile Island, for example, and billions of dollars is put into that area, and the government went along with it, and so that became the other one. And then, you know, the realization was that we didn't have enough rare earths, and those stocks took off when, you know, we all came to the realization that many of us had for many years is that we have to develop our own resources. So you got all these areas moving, you know, so interesting times. You know, it's like that famous expression, I think it was coined by Jim Cramer on CNBC, you know, have to give him credit where it's due, you know. You know, there's always a bull market somewhere, you know what I mean, no matter what you might think is happening elsewhere. So we're not even discussing geopolitical issues. We know some of the defense stocks are rallying, like Raytheon and so forth. And there's still, you know, geopolitical issues out there. But, you know, this is where the money's flowing now, the three areas I just mentioned.
AI, is that still hot?
Absolutely. Elon Musk has just created his new new AI company. And he just arranged some billions of dollars of financing for it. I think he's trying to compete with ChatGPT, and create his own system. And I, you know, would definitely support someone like that. Of course, you can't invest with him. It's mostly private venture money. But, you know, the problem with AI is that, you know, a lot of the numbers are statistics or research, I should say, is showing that, you know, a lot of jobs are going to be lost because of AI, because of its ability to take the place of a lot of people and so forth. So you got to really get into, you know, the AI world, you know, either learn how to program or utilize it somehow in your business, or utilize it for yourself in a way that expands your horizon. Because it could, you know, even for someone like myself who does research and newsletters and technical charts, I mean, you'd be like, you can envision a scenario which probably has already happened, that AI could replace me, you know, and anyone who does any type of research, because it delves into all the details, comes out with the forecasts, and sort of figures out the same thought processes that, you know, a so-called expert would have. So there are a lot of risks for a lot of people because of the AI, but it's definitely, you know, a growing area. Of course, the great fear is that it takes over humankind, and too much computing power is not necessarily the best place, you know, for the computing power, that it could backfire on us. I mean, there's a lot of downside theories about it as well, but we'll see it, you know, as time unfolds. But yeah, definitely, you know, money is going into it. The big companies are trying to build up their their power systems to be able to run it. And that's why all this nuclear talk really got started, because of AI and because of the tremendous, energy demand needed for all the databases and the computer power that is behind it. So it all, one thing led to another, AI, nuclear, the whole kit and caboodle. Meanwhile, some of the big stocks like Microsoft, which makes all-time high, seems like every day, they were one of the forerunners, in getting this power generation underway. I think it's with regard to that Three Mile Island nuclear plant, because they just needed the power for the AI computing and so forth. And they have one of their programs in there, which is an AI program, which apparently is doing well for the company. So yes, about AI, yes, certainly it's out. It's still, top of the market here. It's an area of interest. You just got to figure out which companies are the best ones to invest with that are, doing that. And I guess, the one that's been implementing it and moving to new highs every day, Microsoft's not a cheap stock, but I'm just saying that there's, one name out there that's implementing it. A lot of smaller names as well that we have to research and provide a list to our clients.
Uber's putting $300 million to developing robot taxis, putting their drivers out of work.
Well, we have right here in Arizona, we have driverless cars underway now run by Google. Just about every time I'm driving on the street, I see one of their vehicles passing me, and you see there's no car in the, there's no driver behind the wheel. It's sort of a, odd looking vehicle, but it's run by Google. And of course we know, Elon Musk trying to get, all his Teslas converted. I think they did some tests in Austin, Texas here this past week or so. It seemed to me that with all the Teslas out there, he's the, more likely winner of the self-driving race. Google's got vehicles out there, but there are more Teslas out there than Google has vehicles. So we'll see how it all plays out. I remember when I was a kid, I don't know if you remember this, going way back to the 1950s and 1960s, Walt Disney, one of his Tomorrowland animation films. You can pull it up on the internet now still, and he was talking about driverless cars back then. And, I think his theory was there'd be some type of mechanism in the highway that would guide the automobiles, but you can actually pull up the animation that he created way back there. I think it was in the mid to the late 1950s, even before the early 1960s, I believe. I think it was something around that time frame. And I remember even as a kid hearing about driverless cars and thinking, oh, what amazing thing that was. But look at all the years that have gone by since then. It took all this time, 60 or 70 years before we finally got it implemented. So, every idea in its time, I guess, huh?
Well, I remember the cover of the 1968 Mechanics Illustrated Flying Cars by the Year 2000. I'm still waiting.
Yeah, like the Jetsons, right?
Right.
It's coming. It's coming. There's a lot of companies that are developing it now. I'm sure there's vehicles out there that we're not hearing about. Maybe some of these unidentified crafts that the Navy's been photographing that we have. We talk about UFOs and everything, but there could be the technology could already be out there for the Jetsons vehicle. And if you remember the movies in the 1980s, Back to the Future, when he went back to the future the second time, they didn't need roads. All the cars were flying. So it's just a matter of time, just like with the driverless cars. Are we going to see it in the next 10, 20, 50 years? Yes, it's coming. I can't give you the date. It could be another 50 years before we're all flying around instead of driving on the highways. But, if you can imagine it, we can do it,
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's going on with gold?
It's holding its own. It's not rallying as much as the other metals, you know, the uranium, the platinum, the palladium, tungsten, you know, a lot of the rare earth and other needed metals sort of took the front stage. Copper took off, as you know. That's another hot topic now, with the Trump's edict about the copper having to be produced in within the United States. So gold's been sort of treading just sideways, not breaking out, while attention has been focusing more on the other metals. And there are some cycles that come into play here that, you know, could put pressure on gold. There's some early signs that the U.S. dollar might be bottoming here. We'll see if it, you know, it's been in a big downtrend for quite a period of time. If it does stage a rally, that could put some pressure on the gold market in the next couple months. So it's something to watch. It's more of a short-term comment. I'm not saying gold's going to kaput or anything like that. But there are some studies that show gold overvalued here based on historical relationships. And, you know, anywhere from a $200 to $500 correction in gold is not unreasonable. So that's a possibility.
What's happening with crude?
Just trading sideways here. One day it's up, one day it's down. Natural gas had a little pop here as well, along with crude. I think a lot of it's based on geopolitical stuff. You know, is the Russian-Ukraine situation remain unsolved? Is suddenly the Iranian Israel-Hamas situation blow up again? I don't think they're going to block the Straits of Hormuz. We had this discussion before because of China's need for the oil out of Iran and out of the Gulf. But, you know, something dramatic could happen in the geopolitical. Maybe we could see a takeoff there. I think that would affect, you know, both those markets. But my, you know, my basic view about crude oil has been, you know, with the big production now being allowed in the U.S., and no restrictions on it, as we saw in the previous Biden administration here in the U.S. with Trump supporting it, you would think that, you know, there's going to be theoretically, you know, unlimited production, which could put a lid on the price of crude oil. So this is barring some type of geopolitical event or some, you know, major, you know, some acceleration in the war situation, and that's something that could happen day to day. So it's not my first choice. I mean, if an event happens and the charts start to break out, then, you know, I would definitely, you know, take a look at both of them. But, you know, the action is more in the rare earth, uranium, nuclear, you know, that area of the futures market.
We haven't talked about marijuana for a while. Any hope for that?
Always hope. You know, I still do the Canna sector letter. You know, some of these little stocks do trade around. I don't want to mention some of the names on the air, but they're in the Canna letter. You know, it was one that was down around 30 cents, that rallied up to 70 cents in the last, 10 days, you know, double. It was trading 80 million shares a day. And, it was the subject of a potential reverse stock split. And it used to be a much higher stock. It was a Canadian name that was much higher in years past. So there is action in some of these. They're very low priced. You know, usually $1 or $2, and, you know, some are $3 or $4, but they do trade around. If you look at the chart, some have some, you know, 20% to 100% moves, just from a trading point of view, and not saying that they're going to have sustained moves. And I can't predict that at the moment, with current legislation in the U.S. still unfavorable. Everybody thought it was going to become super favorable, but there's been a lot of pushback on the cannabis in the U.S. market, so on the legislative side, that is. But yeah, there are some that are tradable, and they do move around. And if you don't mind trading a stock that goes from $1 to $1.50 or $2 and back down again with heavy volume, I would take a look at the Canna letter.
Mark, on the geocosmic front, what's rocking the world?
Oh, boy, we got, you know, a lot of cool stuff going on, you know. I don't even want to get started. Well, we, you know, we had just a few days ago, we had a 7.2 intense earthquake up in the Aleutian Islands. They're worrying about the tsunami hitting. It didn't happen. Sunspots are growing again. Apparently, you know, some really big ones, which could affect us here in the Northern Hemisphere. So we, some of the analysis are saying get some shock waves, some of the sunspots, and that could affect some of our, you know, electronic equipment and shortwave radio and maybe more stuff. We just had another one of those volcanoes in Iceland starting to erupt again. You know, Mother Earth is not quiet here. There's still stuff going on out there. So, you know, in terms of the, you know, the other cycles out there, you know, we have a new moon coming up on July 24th. Sometimes there's change of directions around that time of frame, that time frame. So, you know, we're watching all this stuff. It's fun. You know, we like keeping an eye on it. A lot of the astrologers, I have a lot of good friends of mine that do this over the years. Many I met as a floor trader many years ago, warning you that from July 17th to August 10th, what is known as Mercury goes retrograde. And that means little to me other than what they tell me. But apparently there's more volatility in the market in that July 17th to August 10th time frame because of this particular astro configuration. So believe it or not, there's historical data behind it. So that's another little thing that I'm watching out there. So you might see some increased volatility after July 17th in the markets. And that might sort of fit with my thinking that, you know, markets are high now and ultimately going higher, but doesn't mean you can run into a indigestion phase here into August or September. So, you know, watching the numbers every day. And right now, you know, the trading is action is in the names, the sectors that I just mentioned. And I think they will remain hot, at least for the short term.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thanks for being here and having me. Thank you.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com and we'll ask that question for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.